I think it's not only a program for the student, it's a program for the family as well. Often families are living in survival mode that they just need some guidance on how to move forward too.
Welcome to Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I'm your host and chief goddess of the PASS Foundation, Annalise Corbin. We know the current model for education is obsolete. It was designed to create fleets of assembly line workers, not the thinkers and problem solvers needed today. We've seen the innovations that are possible within education, and it's our goal to leave the box behind and reimagine what education can look like in your own backyard. Welcome to today's episode of Learning Unboxed. As always, I am excited to talk with another great innovator in the transformative education space. And today, joining us is Christian Martinez, who is the founder and community innovator of the Camino program. So, Christian, welcome to Learning Unboxed.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Super excited to be in this conversation, and I'm just super gracious for the invitation.
Absolutely. I'm excited about this conversation as well. So let's set a little bit of context for our listeners as we get started here. The Camino program is a community-based initiative dedicated to supporting the well-being and success of young migrant individuals who are transitioning into adulthood. And through mentorship, education, and support, Camino aims to empower young migrant adults with the skills and resources they need to navigate the challenge of adulthood and achieve their personal and professional goals. And as we get ready for this conversation, I will say it is, I think, difficult to find communities pretty much across the world, but certainly we see this in the U.S., where we don't have growing migrant populations. And we know that the needs of, you know, trying to navigate your way into a place that you're not familiar with is incredibly difficult. We also know that mentorship is a powerful tool for all. So, Christian, let's start with, because you're the founder, but you're also an educator. You also have lived the migrant experience. Yeah. You come to this as your true, authentic self on so many levels. So, other than the obvious, tell us a story about why you felt so compelled to start the Camino program as the mechanism to be positive change within communities.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. I got to say, like, one of the biggest motivations for me to dive in and start this program was my own story. Mm-hmm. I arrived to the U.S. when I was 10 as a migrant youth here, navigating, learning a new language, transitioning to middle school, still learning the new language, trying to adapt and acclimate myself to the culture of the U.S. And in that process, I feel like people were willing to support me, but it didn't feel like people understood my journey, right? Mm-hmm. And then by the time I got to high school is when things really got really serious for me. My dad passed away, and then I had to become the main support for my mom. So I ended up dropping out of high school. My English wasn't the best, but I knew that I needed to support my mom and work. So at the time, I felt like that was my own experience. Like, no one else was going through this. As I got older, and in 2017, I co-founded a high school in the same community that Somi grew up, undocumented, fatherless. And I was like, okay, this might be like the beacon of hope. I can support the youth here. It's an amazing school. But then I continue to see a lot of students specifically coming from migrant communities, specifically after the pandemic, stop coming to school. And I was like, what is going on here? So I started going out to, like, grocery shopping. I start seeing some of the kids waiting for the bus, and I would be asking, hey, why are you not in school? And they'd be like, yo, I'm going to work. Like, I don't see something building up for me. I got to go and support my family either back home or here with the rent increases, with the inflation going up. So I was like, oh, I see that. That was my younger self. Let me pause. Let me transition into building something, not necessarily a school, but something where they feel supported in the process. So that was kind of like the motivation to get Camino program going, because I look at myself as my younger self. I needed somebody that can show me the path forward. I needed somebody to show me a Camino forward. My journey was full of adversity. Like I said, I lost my dad when I was 16. I was undocumented until the age of 25. I got shot in the streets of Oakland. And all that to culminate to this point, I'm 35 now. A year ago, I became a U.S. Citizen because of that bullet that shot my leg. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I need someone to kind of support me in the process. And there is a, as we know, there's a crisis going on in this country of folks coming, searching for a better life. And there's different narratives being put out there in media. And I just want to say that I'm one of them that is continuing to support. I became an educator, continues to strive to really mentor folks who just want a better life for themselves.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's really complicated, right? Because as you said, you know, as whether we're talking about recent migrants or refugee populations or even just people relocating from established communities, the transition often can be really difficult. We know that. And especially if there are language and cultural barriers or differences that are in place, some oftentimes schools in particular, as you pointed out, really, really struggle with how best to support these young people in whatever that particular journey happens to be. And so I think that it's really, it's an interesting element that, you know, one of your early solutions was to create a school specifically around those spaces. And I guess one of the things I'm super curious about, we're going to get into the details of the Camino program in a minute, but before we get there, I'm really, really curious about the elements that you see, both the positive elements and the elements that we still need to collectively work on, that you feel like are the component that makes it so difficult for schools to be really sort of thinking about or getting right or even getting wrong. It's just, there's so many, I see so many different versions of how we should be best helping these students. And I think, honestly, K-12 struggles with this.
Yeah. No, yeah, I don't want to dismiss that the work, I think, of the high school, Latitude High School, is doing is an amazing work. Mm-hmm. It's a project-based school located mm-hmm. in the heart of the Fruitvale community, which is the Latinx community here in Oakland. And I think they are creating a great pathway to success is what I'm calling it. On that same note, I think having worked there for a couple of years and being a founder there, I saw that there was strengths, right? It was a lot of students with needs coming from different ways. And for me, this is my own opinion, it feels like at some point you got to like sacrifice to a certain degree a sector or like a population or a group of students in a way. Because you got to give to someone who probably needs it more. And I often feel that when students come in, especially migrant students, and they're coming in learning a new language, and all of a sudden they drop out, you like, oh, they probably went to follow a different narrative for them. And we kind of tend to just, it's okay with us as educators, not just in the school, but also for my school when I was in high school. Like, no one reached out to my mom and was like, hey, where is this kid? Like, you need to come back to school. I feel like they are okay. Like, oh, they went out, they dropped out, they're doing their lives. And we become casualties of this system. So for me, I'm just like, no, what about that kid is a genius? All kids have so much power and knowledge. Mm-hmm. Let's pursue them and go to their, let's go to their court. Let's go out to, like, I meet my kids at coffee shops. Like, meet them where they can support and still come and meet me there and continue to build this educational way of them to still feel connected and continue to build something for themselves. So I think the question here, for lack of a better term, I think sometimes we sacrifice, right? Those students who maybe are on the edges, maybe they don't come to school as often, and we got to prioritize because our resources are so limited in schools that the kids who are coming in, they got to get it. But those who kind of just drop off the edges, we kind of like, oh, hopefully someone can pick them up. But for me, I haven't seen a program that is picking them up. That's why I'm building Camino program.
Okay, so I love that. And I don't disagree with you at all. In fact, you know, as you're talking about that, I'm thinking about all the parallels to what you're saying that I see in almost you know, any community that I've had the privilege to go in and work with, you know, schools or communities that are thinking about educational transformation. And you hear that a lot, right? You know, we have chronic absentee issues. Mm-hmm. We oftentimes don't understand what's driving that. You know, you've identified a set of drivers. There are many, but it is really, really easy for kids to be lost in the shuffle and forgotten about. You're 100% correct mm-hmm. on that. I see that as well. So then let's talk about the specifics of the Camino program, because mm-hmm. my understanding of it is it's based on this idea of really specific mentoring and a fellowship process and a cycle of skills that you're building and learning. So talk with our listeners a little bit about what you've designed and why the choices that you've made. Why are they important for the community you're serving?
Yeah, no doubt. So right after I kind of decided to start this program, I started to like ideate what were some like four pillars that would really have supported me in the process as a young adult. Mm-hmm. And collaborated with some of my closest friends. They have been supporting me in this process as well. And one of them was professional development, right? Like anywhere I go, I have worked from like being a dishwasher to like a founder of a school. And I was like, everywhere I go, I have to learn new skills. And what if that person was supporting them in the process? So one of them is meeting with the student, asking them, where is it that you want to work? What is it that you want to learn? And we're going to build a like meeting around that so we can start learning more about that process. One of the things that I tell folks is that we often talk about A to B, but we're going to talk about the process. And the process is so important mm-hmm. as a young adult to understand that if you want to be an influencer on social media, there's a process. You're going to just become an influencer. So how could we tailor that and the professional development where we meet twice a week with the student mm-hmm. is really about what is it that you want to do? We ask the inquiry questions at the beginning when they apply for the program. The second one is mental health resources. In our community, there's a lot of organizations supporting youth, supporting adults with mental health resources. But the problem that I often saw, and also like my mom saw, navigating those resources is really hard. Mm-hmm. Like applying, mm-hmm. like who to reach, how to follow up. Yeah. What happens if no one follows up? Like, what is the process? Mm-hmm. So we support mm-hmm. the student and the young adult in that process of like, this is what you do. Now you got to call this person. So we kind of support as an advocate as well. And the second one is peer support. I mentioned at the beginning of my story that when I was going through all this, I feel like I was alone. I felt like I was the only one living through this. And then I started to find more purpose and I started to feel like my story was not the only one. There was a group of people that was also going through something similar. So we connect them to like, hey, you are not alone in this journey. Let's meet with the other fellows in this program so you can see how they are moving and we are not. Because you found community in some of the mm-hmm. most difficult struggles of your life. So we connect them to that. And then the last one is career navigation. Growing up, I got my jobs because my neighbor connected me to like, there's a restaurant hiring. But I feel mm-hmm. like we don't have an infrastructure network for people to like, I want to start working somewhere that pays like sustainable money for me to be living in the city. So how can we create those jobs and give them access and opportunities for them to explore that? So we ask them the questions, where did you want to work? If you could work anywhere in the world, what would you do? And we start to connect them to like partnerships throughout the city. And at times it's really difficult because some of the folks are in the process of being documented in this country. So that's another mm-hmm. layer mm-hmm. that we also operate under of like, we got to make sure that things are okay for them to navigate in those spaces. So honestly, those are the four things. And at the end of this mm-hmm. cohort, they get $1,000. We call them get on your feet stipend. One of the mm-hmm. biggest thing is that when I was navigating as a young adult, I wanted to get like either a car, a bike. I wanted to be able to pay for something, but I was always like short on cash. So one of the things we tell folks is that once you get through this program, you will get $1,000 for you, just for you to like have a safety net, start building something. And the program is about 4 months and then we rotate mm-hmm. to a new cohort. We want it to be fast. We don't want it to be elongated. Mm-hmm. We just want it to be in rotation with folks. So we had our first pilot it ended last January. It started in October to January. And we had about seven young migrants go through this program. Some mm-hmm. of them, all of them received a $1,000 fellowship paycheck. And some of them went back to school. Some of them, we were able to get them back to adult school, learn the language, and finish their high school diploma. And what I found super, super key here is that it doesn't matter if someone who is a teacher or maybe a principal or someone with like this sense of like authority comes through their lives and tells them, yo, you got to back to school. I think there's a lot of folks tend to reject that. There's like, oh, I don't want to go back to school. I got to work. But if they hear from someone who has walked that path, it's so different. It's so different. Like two of the kids that were on my caseload, they would call me and say, what should I do next? I'm going back to school. I went to adult school. I didn't finish high school. I dropped out 3 times. I went to adult school. I finished adult school. I tried to go to college. And then I was tagged with out of country fees. So I wasn't able to finish my BA. So I decided to go a different route. So I'm telling kids, there is a way. You just got to navigate it. And I feel like they've started to feel a sense of purpose. So those are the four things. I know I talked a lot, but those are the four pillars that we go into. And out of those, I mean, there's so much connections and different pivot points that we see, because then the families also get involved. Mm-hmm. I think it's not only a program for the student, it's a program for the family as well. Often families are living in survival mode that they just need some guidance on how to move forward too.
Yeah, I think the sort of key sort of takeaway that I'm hearing from you, and certainly if this is things that I have seen as well, is the having somebody to help you navigate in a space that you don't understand is really, really key. You can't possibly be successful in school if you can't navigate the educational system. You can't be successful in trying to get the services that you need, social or otherwise, if you can't navigate the system. You're not going to be successful in finding a job if you can't navigate the system towards employment. So those, I appreciate that very much, because those are incredibly complex systems that I think oftentimes we take for granted the understanding of how it works, because it's not easy.
No, it's super hard. And on top of that, you have the layer of like, if you just arrive to this country and you kind of scare of like, is this something I should be doing? Mm-hmm. And there's so many misconceptions, and also folks tend to just talk about a specific reasons why you shouldn't apply for XYZ. But it's, you just got to educate yourself. It's what I tell folks. I was like, you got to educate yourself, ask questions. And we are here to support you in the process. And we are creating a network. One of the biggest things just to add is that growing up for me, a network felt so far away and so foreign. I was like, a network of people, what is that going to do in my life? But as I got older, specifically in the professional level, I understand that a network is someone you lean to get you to continue to find success in your journey. So I tell the fellows, I was like, we here for the rest of your journey within the city or beyond. Like, you just got to reach out and know that you got someone that can support you in the process and bounce ideas from. And I feel like that has been so key for a lot of them, because often you just feel alone in this path.
Absolutely. As you sort of think about your own journey and then the journey that you've been helping to facilitate for these fellows that have gone through that first cohort, for example, if you had the ability to sort of step back from all of that and really sort of inform and instruct a set of conditions or services that could take place within the school setting, for example, right? Because you already talked about and laid out the variety of reasons that students stop showing up, right? You know, I'm in this new country, I have to go to this place. And so are there tangible ways that the current educational system could be more supportive? I mean, part of me keeps thinking it's like, you know, the work that you're doing with the Camino program, it's like if that were embedded, then maybe we wouldn't lose these. There's a disconnect in my mind between the experience of coming to a new place and not being able to understand, navigate, or to have the supports that you need. And then, you know, dropping out of the system that theoretically, right, and that's a whole nother conversation, right, should be helping you be successful to move and find your place in this new world that you are in. And yet we know that's not the case. So I'm really hoping, right, that you've got some pretty valuable lessons learned, if you will, or strategies that the system that lots of these kiddos find themselves in could be made better so that they don't not show up.
Yeah.
Right. And then we don't go looking for them.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I've been thinking about that a lot. I was like, as we move into this new age of education with all the technology that's coming our way, we used to say, oh, the 21st century is coming. We are in the 21st century. Yeah.
It's here.
So it's here. So I'm like, why is it that we continue to probably hit some of the same barriers as we move in education? And I got to say that schools, from my perspective, from my eyes, are evolving to more than just educate, right? Schools are becoming a place of safety, becoming a place of refugee, becoming a place where I find comfort in people. And I feel that as educators, as teachers, we are already kind of stretched in to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. And then adding that layer on top, where I think one of the key things that supported me and I built so much trust with the families is that when I was in schools, I would do home visits, like at the beginning of the school year, in the middle of the school year. Like, I would go out, no matter where you live, I'm going to go knock on your door, I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to have a conversation with you and your family. Sometimes they would prepare a whole meal for me, but just sit down, see you as a human being, and know that I care. I deeply care for you and your well-being and your journey to success. That's a lot to ask for an educator who might have like a family. I don't have kids. I don't have like a wife or anything, but I was like, that's a lot to ask. And often it feels like you are doing what I call is revolutionary suicide. Like, you are going out there with your heart out, making sure that people who don't go through the same obstacles that maybe yourself or other people went through that are close to you. But that's a lot to ask. So we tend to just live in this box of like, kids got to come to me. And if they come, they are going to be served. But I think it's time for the schools. And we did that during the pandemic. It's time for the schools to go out into their houses and see the reality that some of these families are living in and accommodate and pivot so the students feel heard and feel that they're in community with the rest of the educators and community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you're right. It's a huge lift, right? Yeah. That's a really big, but I think that your observation is a really intriguing one, Christian, and I really appreciate it, that this idea that as we evolve the idea of what is school and what is our educational journey generally, that it has to evolve to be more comprehensive and in many ways, right? And yet less tied to the four walls in which the activity was originally way back when. That's way part back of the problem, right? Way back when. Designed for, right? So if school was a community center and not a school, right, then the idea around what could happen in that place could, by design, be more comprehensive just in context, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel like if it was a community center where now you have different CBOs, different orgs coming in and teaching a class, I think the engagement will be off the roof, right? Like, right now, I'm going to a different school to do a program for young men. And I do a class for an hour. And I was like, we're going to talk about branding yourself. I mean, we live in the area of social media. Like, your brand is so important as you develop and who you become. So kids are in it. I just feel like we have to innovate in order to keep pace with whatever is keeping kids out of the schools.
Well, it's also interesting to me, right, this idea of this public entity that is single use. I've always found that bizarre. That's my own thing. It's right. You know, we spend billions of dollars building these incredibly beautiful, beautiful, high tech, right, comprehensive high schools. I'm not a fan of comprehensive high schools for lots and lots of reasons, but one of them is because it becomes this place where we dump thousands and thousands of kids, and they're just a number swirling around in this big giant building, and there's nothing real about the experience. It's completely artificial. Mm-hmm. It's not tied to anything in the real world. And then, you know, at the end of the day, we close the doors and nothing else happens in that space, right? In the summer, we close it. You know, if we might have summer school, which is punitive for lots of kids, as we know. Mm-hmm. But it is not a place of community or connectedness in many ways. And so I do struggle with that. I'm super, super curious, Christian, as you think about that, the work that has come from that first cohort of the Camino program, and you think about all the conversations that you had with those individuals that participated. I'm super curious if you heard something from those participants that you found incredibly profound in terms of the way you're thinking about the next cohort. I have no doubt that you had incredible opportunity in relationship with these young people, and I'm curious about their key takeaways. I know what the intent of the program is, but what are the kids, the participants, actually telling you about the lived experience that you created with them?
Yeah, I tell you, one of the most profound experiences was a student who dropped out right before he applied for a Camino program. And he was just like having like anxiety attacks of like what his life is going to be. He was turning 18 in a month. And I was like, hey, listen, just stick with us in this program. I went to his house, met his mom, we sat down and we built a plan together. And I say, listen, I'm going to be here this day. I would kind of preview the days that I was going to come to his house and have a conversation and support him in the process. The kid went back to school. Now he's about to graduate high school. And he has a job. And he calls me like once a week. And he's like, hey, how are you doing? I hope you're doing well. So his level just shifted. I was like, this is who I am. This is my purpose. But I think the big takeaway for him that he named was like, I have a mentor that I can trust and I can be supported by, and I also have access. He said access. I don't know to what yet, but I feel like I have access to something. And then I started to talk to the other two folks that support the Camino program. I was like, what were the key takeaways? And we started to think about this path of success. How often it looks linear to folks, like you got to go to school and then you get this degree and then you get this job. And I was like,
right,
but we got to be honest. If we are not being honest about the population that we're working with, we are doing a disservice. So it's like their success might look different, and we are not taking away to like this other path. But I was like, we have to center ourselves in the level of access that we're giving folks. That is what's going to take them to success. So conversations, mentorship, being in community with their families, feeling that they are not alone in this process is some of the things that I heard. But that student named access. He said, I don't know to what, but I feel like I have access to something when you come in with this program.
Wow, that is super powerful, right? Because what that translates for me is that kid has hope.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That I don't know what it means, but something great and positive is going to happen to me and for me and with me and my family because of that access point. Wow, that's profound.
Yeah, no, I walked away from there and I was just so, for me, just felt like this is what the program is intent to do. Outside from like supporting them and mentorships, just like give you hope that there's a better chance at life. Like if this is what the program is doing, like we are winning, right? I know we cannot quantify hope, but that just brought so much joy to me, and seeing this young adult making the best decisions for himself is what is amazing.
Yeah, no, I get that. And, you know, and I agree with you, you can't necessarily quantify hope, but you know when it's not there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I know. I have no doubt you and I have both been there. We've seen it. We've watched communities and kids who, at the end of the day, if you had to distill it down to one thing that's missing, it's, you know, when you have no hope, it is really hard to move yourself forward. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. It's so hard to find even like pursue the dream, you know, it's hard to wake up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Huh. Yeah. 100%. I always like to close the conversation by recognizing the fact that our listeners are coming from all over and all different kinds of circumstances and communities. And the hope always is, obviously, that from these conversations that there are nuggets that inspire others to recognize that either there's something missing in my community, or I really am inspired by what I just heard, what Christian in this case was talking about. And I want to gather together and somehow do something in my own community that might be similar, but I don't know how to get started. That is something I hear all the time. I think this is really cool, but I don't know how to start. So I like to ask my guests who've already gone down the journey, how would you mentor somebody in telling them how to start doing similar things, programs, or initiatives in their own community that you are seeing success with?
Yeah, I think one of the key things to think about is like, how is deeply connected to you? If it's connected to you, I feel like that is a great start. Like if it's connected to you, you want to create a change, let's build from that. And I think in the process, you're going to encounter a lot of your own pain, right? A lot of your own mishaps. But I feel use that as fuel to continue to move the work forward and then connect with people who are also on similar energies with you and want to build. I think that's, we go farther together. So I was like, if you can build something that involves all the folks in your community, make it happen, and also just do it. Like, even if it's not ready, like we tend to want to be perfectionists in this era. It's like, just do it, just go for it. And in the process, you're going to find amazing people like yourself, you know, who are going to invite you to different spaces and to share your wisdom. And that's going to continue to add. So don't be afraid to take a shot at something. Just make it count. That's what would be my motivation to speak for them.
I love that. It's the perfect motivational speech. So I appreciate that very much. Christian, thank you so very much for not only joining us today, but honestly for the work that you're doing in your community, because it's no doubt making a difference in the lives of young adults. And we need the greatest diversity of young people in our world doing and sharing amazing things because those life journeys are just so remarkable. So thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me. And this was great. Thank you for allowing me to share my experience and also the movement that we got going on here.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I want to thank my guests and encourage you all to be part of the conversation. Meet me on social media at Annalise Corbin. And join me next time as we stand up, step back, and lean in to reimagine education.